This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection Show. I'm your most fortunate host, Michael Overly, and I'm with the amazing, fantastic, well-read Jeannie Joseph.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you.
Oh, yep. Yay.
Yay. Today, we're talking about what animals understand about the secret of balance and how we can learn from what they understand about the secret of balance. I call this the Goldilocks principle, you know, like one bed was too hard, one was too soft, and one is just right. So this is like the Goldilocks solution. And when animals are free and in the wild, they are masters of balance. They do what they need to do to expend energy, and then they rest, and then they play, and then they sleep. They just kind of, they don't need to be watch a clock or be told what to do. They just find the innate balance of what they need to maintain well-being. And of course, in human civilization, we're subject to all the things, you know, jobs and responsibilities, and we have to do this and we have to do that. And it's very easy to lose our connection with our sort of innate gut sense or our physical sense of balance in favor of the time clock or our responsibilities. And I'm not suggesting that we all run off to the woods. I mean, some people would like to do that, but I know most of us can't. So what we're interested in is what can we do to create more balance. Let's put it that way. So it doesn't have to be perfect balance. You know, it's not like that. It's like, okay, well, if I'm noticing that I'm overdoing, let's say, for example, I need some more being, human being. If I'm doing too much human doing, I need some more human being. So it's just a little thing, you know, I mean, a little thing. It's just a little bit of balance that we can think about adding. So this is not to make anybody feel, it's not a judgy thing. It's not like, oh my God, my life is so out of balance. It's not a guilt thing or a should thing. It's just like let's have a little look and see the different areas of our lives and where they are in balance and where they're not. And the animals also who share our lives, because they are now at the mercy of, we have imbalance in our life, they're going to feel that too. So if we're working too hard and not giving them enough attention or enough activity, they're suffering. And so we need to look at the whole ecology of the human-animal connection, which is our organization, to see where are these balances or imbalances, and where can we introduce just a little bit more balance? Mm-hmm. That was a very long introduction to our show today.
No, but that's fantastic. And, and I think another really important point, this comes up for me, is my balance is not going to necessarily look like your balance.
That's exactly right.
Right? Because we have different expectations, different families, different households, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you don't have to match what your neighbor or your sister or brother are doing, right?
That's so important. Thank you for bringing that up, because, you know, like one person that maybe they can't function if they haven't had 30 minutes of exercise in the morning, and the next person is like, what? Exercise? you know, what's that? I remember we did this seminar once, this resilience training. We had brought some people from Rwanda after the genocide. You know, we were doing this whole workshop, and but there was this icebreaker, and it was all about saying what your priorities in life were to, you know, to help people understand their values and all. This is great exercise, but it was really funny because one of the questions was, how important is physical exercise in your life? And all the white people put that up as a top priority, right? You know, way high up on the priority list. And the Rwandans put it at zero. And we said, why? Well, you know, they walk 10 miles to go say hello to a friend, right? So it's not something that they have to think about in their life because it is their life. It's not something they have to go to a gym or they have to take time out to do their exercise. It just is par for the course, getting water, getting food or whatever it is. And it was such a great lesson for me to recognize that, you know, we all have our uniquenesses and our unique circumstances. So balance is absolutely in the context of you, your life, your dog, your cat, your horse, you know, what you can do to create more balance. Because balance is the secret to well-being. And that's what animals understand. And that's what we can learn from them by watching them. Like you see that, like with Indigo, right? There's sometimes Indigo just wants to just go lay down. Why? Well, because that's the balance. That's the balance to some other aspect of her day. She's had that walk, or she's had that big meal, or whatever it is, that now it's time to rest and digest. We can observe that, and we can begin to introduce more balance but the first step is to become aware of imbalance, because if you're not even aware of imbalance, then you can't create balance. So step number one, we take our students through a kind of a six-step process of looking at the different areas of their life and seeing where there's balance and where there's imbalance. And then, you know, from there you can say, okay, I'm doing too much of this and too little of that. So we can make 10% of a change. And first of all, balance is not like 50-50 across the board. Balance is relative to what you need. So for example, as an introvert, you and I are both introverts. So we need a lot of time that's quiet. Don't tell your partner. You know, we need a lot of time that doesn't involve, you know, outputting energy and engaging with others. And we went out to dinner with a friend last night and it was lovely, but it was tiring. I couldn't wait to come home. And so balance is not a 50-50. Balance is what's balanced for you. So it might be 60% quiet time, 40% interaction, or whatever the number is for you. So that's what we're looking at today. And before we start, I just want to tell you one story, because it's a story about a dog whose name was Bear, because he was big. It looked like a bear. He was a big black bear. He was a Pyrenees mix, a Great Pyrenees mix and something else. So he was a mutt, but a lot of Pyrenees. So he was, I think it was 160 pounds. I mean, we're talking big dog, right? And he, one of his jobs on my friend Afton's horse rescue was to protect the place, to be the guardian. You know, though, it was something comes, it's not supposed to be there. Rah, 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 make a lot of big noise, you know. So he could do the whole warrior, big noise, protective guardian energy. And the ranch is very safe. And he's got everything. You know, he's got horses and llamas and pigs and chickens and bunnies. He's got a lot of little creatures, and a lot of them are prey creatures. So you need to have somebody that's the sentinel. But he's also can switch from being rah, 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 you know, scaring off any ones that shouldn't be there, to being tender and kind and working with veterans and being peaceful and just laying there and being rubbed and just sitting by your side forever, as long as you want. So he has this perfect balance. So it may only be 10% of his day is the rah, rah, crazy protector energy. And the rest is this sweet, charming little thing at 160 pounds. But he has his balance, and that creates balance on the ranch, because if he was going rah, 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 90% of the time, nobody would get any rest. So it's not just the individual being, but it's the whole ecosystem of where that being is living and working and engaging. So that was a little talk about Bear. It makes me miss him now that I'm talking about him. He's sweet. He lives about two or three hours away, so I don't get to see him too often. But so anyways, that's a little story about balance for Bear. And then in the HAC, I mentioned we have six zones that we ask people to take a look at. And I just wanted to kind of explain a little bit. So the first one has to do with how much stimulation do we have in our life? And stimulation could be positive or negative, but it's anything that kind of takes us from neutral to awake, neutral to aroused, neutral to involved, excited, anxious, all of those different energies. How much stimulation do we have and do we need? And how much relaxation do we have and do we need? So if they're in balance, then we tend to feel not too stressed. We're going to feel very resilient, because we have a nice balance of our need for stimulation and our need for relaxation. And as you say, that's going to be different for every person. So where would you say, like, just if you were to make a 100% pie, we're not talking of science here, it's just an art of thinking about, what is your ratio of stimulation to relaxation? What do you need?
God, what a great question. I've never thought about it this way.
I know. It's like,
I'm always looking for more de-escalation and, you know, desensitize, destimulate.
Yeah.
So I don't need a ton.
Okay.
I used to need more, or maybe, yeah. Maybe I thought I needed more.
Yeah.
I'd say it's probably like 30 to 70.
Okay.
You know, that I need 30% stimulation and then 70% relaxation. I don't always get that.
Right. Sure. I know.
But I can operate really well in this highly stimulated state, but for a short period of time.
Me too. Yeah, exactly right. And it's so important to recognize this. And it's not that we're going to achieve perfect balance every day or whatever. It's not about perfection. It's about, okay, recognizing that your need for stimulation is 30. And maybe when you were 20, it was the opposite. Or maybe you at least pursued a lifestyle that involved 70% new experiences, new things. And as in many 20-year-olds or younger or older, you know, that becomes a priority, and that can create a lifestyle around that, always seeking new experiences. And that may be appropriate for a certain time in life, but then there comes another time in life where that becomes, you realize the wear and tear that that takes, or the trouble that it makes, or the cost that it, you know, economically or a health. Yeah, you saying yes, you're raising your hand saying yes, me, Your Honor. Yes. So these are important things to just recognize. And when you recognize, okay, you know what, I'm getting a little stressed out today. Well, how was my day? Well, you know what, I had 50, 60, 70% stimulation today. I really need some relaxation. So it helps you to just calibrate your own system. And some people can be can have lives that don't have enough stimulation. They're bored. And even with the animals, this is true for our animals too. So our animals have a ratio, and sometimes it's the same as ours and sometimes it's not. So we need to recognize that, because dogs that are bored get into all kinds of trouble, you know, if they're not getting enough stimulation. And stimulation is not always physical for animals, you know, I mean, that's part of it, obviously, right? But beyond physical, or in addition to physical, they have needs for mental stimulation, emotional stimulation, connection stimulation. So if they are left at home alone all day and they've had no exercise and they're just laying around and they've had no challenge to their mind or their brain and no connection with their heart to a person, they're going to get it. A lot of them are going to get into trouble. You're going to see behaviors that are not to your liking. And so that recognition, okay, well, when I come home, even though I'm tired, they need to jump all over me or be all very excited or whatever it is they have to go through and get a lot of touch and a lot of sound and a lot of connection. And maybe it's over in 3 minutes. But if you don't take that time with them, they stop asking for it. They stop it, you know, because they say, okay, this human doesn't respond to my request for stimulation, attention, connection. So this is something to really understand about our own animals. So let's look at Indigo now. You said your 30 stimulate, 70 relax is your balance point. What's Indigo's balance point?
She's similar. She can ramp up pretty quickly if something catches her attention, but she enjoys her quiet time.
Yeah.
Like I'll be in the front room and she'll go back, literally go hop in bed.
Yeah.
In my bed, not her bed.
Right. I understand. I understood that.
It's been important for her to be able to make that choice for herself instead of trying to keep her, you know, stay with me.
She
knows that she has the run of the house. But she loves her quiet time.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, that's so interesting because, you know, she's a Belgian Shepherd. I thought she'd want to be cranked up 90 hours a day.
Right.
But not so. Yeah.
Yeah. And no, it's really interesting. And we have to let go of our concepts of what we think the breed needs or whatever, and really observe and see what's a good day for Indigo, you know, like maybe 10 minutes of walking and new things, new smells, new sights, new sounds, all these good, you know, the air and the sky and all that. And then, you know, very happy to be in the house for some portion of time and then wants to go out again. You know, these are all the things that we want to pay attention to. And you're very lucky to have a dog that is similar to your style, you know, because what happens sometimes is people will adopt a dog that's not a match to their style. And that's when things really go wrong, you know, when the person is not really understanding, really sensing what the animal needs. So this is really good training for us humans to be able to recognize A, our own style, B, the animals share our lives, and C, how are we doing with that? Are we making sure that they get enough stimulation? Like Sophia likes to go out, like do her therapy dog work and visit with the kids once or twice a week. She doesn't need more than that. You know what I mean? Like more than that could be tiring. And becomes overstimulating. So she loves the stimulation and we keep our therapy dog visits to just an hour because we recognize that dogs are, even though it doesn't look like it, they're expending a lot of energy and receiving a lot of energy. A lot of people want to love on them and, you know, their energy or whatever, they're absorbing some of that. So we want to keep those visits to a manageable levels of stimulation. Otherwise, if you stay past that stimulation point, the dog will either shut down or get a little nippy, you know, not necessarily bite. A therapy dog's not going to bite, but they get a little restless. You know, they're going to feel out of sorts with themselves. And that's, the visit is over. We got to go home. You know, even if people want us to stay, like we had one visit at Amazon, you know, working with the Amazon workers, and they're, you know, they're pretty high stress life. You know, they're in a pretty tight little schedule there, and we came and did some work with them. They asked us to come, and it was wonderful. They loved it, but they wanted a 2-hour visit because that fit their timing of, you know, the two different shifts, one going out, one coming in. They wanted the 2 hours, but man, Sophia was done after an hour. And you know, I had to say, okay, we gotta go. So the next one we talk about is the balance of connection and independence. We look at what is the need for connection, for feeling engaged with another being, and what is the need for, like you said, Indigo going into, you're in one room and she goes in your bedroom and goes and lays down in your bed. You know, that's a lovely, healthy, independent sign. And then other times she wants to be right by your side and right near you. So where are you on that scale, looking at that pie of 100%? Where are you on connection and independence?
It varies.
Yeah.
I want to say I'm close to 50-50.
Okay.
But it's not like that all the time. So
sure.
You know, some days I'm feeling needy and clingy, and I want to spend more time with Dana and Indigo.
Right.
And then other times I want quiet, and I want to I go to the river, and I just don't want to be around anybody.
Right. Right.
So right now I would say it's closer to 50-50.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
My needs are really well met. And you know, Dana is outstanding. She understands her needs, and she up goes and takes care of herself. So
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. You know, that's really important in a human to human relationship, is that each person understand their own needs. So they can interpret that and then say, you know what, feeling a little need for independence right now, go take a walk. Because if you don't, and you stay when you're really needing some independence, chances are things are going to go haywire in the communication. That's where there's going to be misreading of signals. That's where they're going to be misinterpretation. That's where they're going to be withhold of information. You know, things are going to go screwy when we're not paying attention to our own needs for independence. And then in the relationship, of course, we want to be able to talk about that and recognize differences or recognize different moods. You know, like some days it's 50-50 and other days it's not. So to be able to recognize that for yourself and for the other person. And with the dogs too, dogs have different needs. Like we're fostering Lulu right now from the shelter. And when she first came, she had to be like literally in contact with me almost 24/7, you know, sleeping in my bed. If I was working, she was under the table. And now I'm just looking around. Okay, she's in the corner, but that's fine. She doesn't have to be under the desk. So she's very content to be, now she could be 3 feet away from me and still experience a sense of safety and connection. So that's a great step of growth from where she had to be in actual contact. So yeah.
Well, we're similar, right? In so many ways. And I mean, we've touched on this the whole way through this podcast, all the episodes. There's the connection is more than we think it is.
Exactly.
I'm so glad we're getting into discovering these things.
Yeah.
Hey, can we take a quick break?
Let's do that.
All right. We'll see you folks in a bit.
Hey, friends. If you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey, folks, welcome back. We are so excited. I'm having so much fun with this, Jeannie. It's like these are the things that I discuss with my clients in my coaching practice as well. So I'm just talking about all of this. So let's keep going with the six zones.
Okay. So the next one that's up on our list is the balance of predictability and newness. Like, so how much do you need to know what's coming? How much do you need to have things be the way they were yesterday versus how much do you need to have things be new and different and off the beaten track and out of the pattern? So we'll use you as our guinea pig. Not that you're a guinea pig, but guinea pig, I mean it in the nicest way. How are you in terms of your balance of desire for predictability and newness?
God, I love this. I was talking to my friend Marco in Italy this morning, and you and I have talked about him before.
Oh, okay.
He asked me something similar in regards to how I do business, what I'm trying to do, where I'm trying to expand. And I've been able to get to this place where I can let go of so much more control and having to know the outcomes of things and knowing that I did what I needed to do and allowing what needs to come.
Great. So, I know.
I used to be way over on the control side.
Yeah.
And then wonder why things didn't go my way.
Sure.
So now I'm way over on the allowing or newness side. And then excited about what shows up.
Right.
It's very different. So I'd say I'm probably 30 on the predictability side and 70 on the newness.
Wow. That's a fun life. Just hearing those numbers, I just feel like, wow, that's just, you have beautiful room for expansion and new things coming your way that you couldn't have predicted, and open to new possibilities, new opportunities. Like you mentioned this morning, we were talking before we got on the air about something you had done this morning. And yeah, it's just great, you know, and different people have different needs and different dogs have different needs. So some dogs need a lot of predictability to feel safe, and they need to eat at the same time. I mean, like, they'll start campaigning when it's time, you know, and they like a lot of things to be predictable, and they like a little bit of newness, go out, meet new people, do new things, have things, the schedule get off. You know, these are some dogs are just fine with this. Other dogs, it's really hard for them if dinner is late. It's just not okay. So to understand this in our animals, understand it in ourselves, and then people who need newness but have lives of, you know, predictability, they, who's that person called it, lives of quiet desperation, you know what I mean, where there's so little newness, everything is the same every day, that can be very draining for certain types of people. Other people, no problem at all to have the get up, do the same thing, eat the same lunch, or go to the same restaurant, whatever it is. You know, some people are just really comfortable with predictability, and some people need more of that newness and new opportunity. And you're right to tie it to the issue of control, because predictability, I mean, this is the human condition, right? We have this idea as humans that we can control a whole lot of stuff, and we can control some stuff, but pretty little. And this is something that animals, they have a better relationship to that. I'm not saying that animals don't want to control things. Of course they do, but they have a better ability to say, you know what, this is something that I can't control. I'm just going to be at peace with it. So it's an interesting thing. We can learn from our animals how to be open to receive the way they are. You know, the way you come to them when they want some affection. And they just, Bailey, one of the dogs that we live with here, you come towards him with a certain tone of voice and he just rolls over and gives you his belly. You know what I mean? He's just ready to receive that love. You know, even if you had something else planned walking across the room, he's got another idea. No, you're moving. You're coming towards me. Here's my belly, pet me. And I do, because that's a communication for him. He's saying, I would like a little attention. And it doesn't mean I'm going to do it for 20 minutes, but I'm going to do it for a moment. And that makes both of our days a little better because I've responded to that communication from him, from that body language.
I tried that with Dana and she just walks right by me.
She doesn't give you a belly rub.
No.
Yeah, well, there you go. So the next thing we talk about is the balance of the need for touch versus the need for non-touch. And different cultures have different preferences for touch. Like I think we talked about this, like in New York City, I lived in New York City for 25 years. And the getting on the subway every day, you have no choice. You're going to be touched by strangers, by people who smell differently, and, you know, people you like and don't like. And, you know, it's just a mass of touch contact, you know what I mean? And so we have different needs for touch and non-touch, and that's something to recognize in ourselves. And that's something also to recognize in the animals who share your life. So what is their need for touch? And sometimes, like Lulu used to have touch all the time. Now she's happy with touch sometimes, you know, she wants it when she wants it, and when she doesn't want it, she doesn't want it. And so it's our job as the humans in their lives to pay attention to what they're signaling. Are they saying, touch me? Or are they saying, no, done, had enough touch? Where are you on the touch and non-touch side?
I love touch. I absolutely love it. I like, you know, just a hand on mm-hmm. the shoulder or, mm-hmm. well, I should back up. It depends on who the touch is from.
Of course.
Like from Dana, I love nurturing and she's very tactile and very nurturing to me. And I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
In other situations, I need my space.
Right.
And
man on man, mano mano, you don't want that.
Yeah. When that's intruded upon, I start to get mm-hmm. uncomfortable.
Sure.
It could be a handshake. It could be just a pat on the back. Uh-huh. Some of my guy friends, I will absolutely give a hug to.
Right.
Others, not necessarily.
Right. Exactly. You know, but yes.
I'm more open to it than I used to be. I used to be really.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is great to really recognize your own style and to recognize someone, maybe you're more touchy than the next guy and you're not going to go give him a big old bear hug because he's not going to enjoy it. And that's not going to be fun for either of you. And other guys, they were so happy to get that bear hug. So it's just, we got to really pay attention to the signals that other people are giving and make sure that we're giving signals that are clear. Like Bailey, if he rolls over and shows me his belly, there's no doubt what he wants. And it'd be great if we humans could be as clear, you know, because lots of times we misread each other's signals and we either don't notice them because they're too subtle or, you know, I thought I was being perfectly clear that I wanted a hug. Well, no, you weren't. It was clear to you. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So that's part of the human to human process is to get our signals straight. But with the animals, they have very clear intentions of when they want touch and when they don't want touch. And that's where, like when we're working with traumatized animals, we can't just go touch them because that wouldn't be friendly, that wouldn't be kind, that wouldn't be loving, that would be all about us, not all about them. And in the human-animal connection, we're always looking to see what does the animal want, not what do I want, and to pay attention to the signals that the animal is giving us. So that's, we have a method called invisible touch, and that's part of our healing method where we can touch without physical contact. And that's really delightful. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And then I'm just going to touch on this because I know we're going to do a whole show on this, but the next one has to do with choice, the freedom of choice and following the lead. So sometimes dogs want to choose, like on a sniff walk, they want to decide where they want to stop and sniff or how long they want to stop and sniff. And other times they really are looking to us to be the guide or the leader, and they want to follow that lead. So they want a balance of being clear where we're going, what's happening now, you know, and this is why I say always tell your dogs, you know, always tell your dogs when they're going, when you're going, what's happening next, when is dinner, are you ready for dinner, you know, whatever your term is, but that we let them know as much as possible what's going on. And then we become a reliable leader. We become a safe leader because we have that predictability that we use the same words, the same tone. Want to go for a walkie? It's always that, whatever it is. And that becomes a safety for them because they can depend upon the reliability of our leadership. And then at other times they need more freedom of choice. And that is such an important thing that we're going to spend a whole episode, the next one, just talking about freedom of choice. So where are you personally in the choosing being led, leading versus being led?
I'm probably 50-50 or
that's great. You
know, somewhere
yeah.
in there.
Yeah.
With Indigo, when we head out, about half the time, I decide where we're going to go, and the other half, mm-hmm. I let her decide where we're going
to go. That's great. That's just great.
Sometimes she'll just stop and look at me like left, right, and I'll go, oh, yeah. Okay, let's go right. And then she,
okay.
and, you know, I mean, yeah. she knows her left and right.
Yeah.
She's smarter than I am.
Yeah. And,
so it's fantastic. And,
yeah.
you know, it's not 100% of the time.
No, but, doesn't have to be.
We've got a great communication now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's not about 100% of the time. It's about a level of balance. And some dogs, again, like more clearer direction, and some dogs want to have more choice. And your job as a human with them is to understand that their unique sense of balance, and that comes from first understanding your own. So these are just some of the ways that we look at the power of balance to make harmony in the connection between people and animals. So we're just so happy to be able to communicate this information to you. And we hope you'll join us for our next show where we talk about freedom of choice. And it is deceptively powerful how important that is.
Massive. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jeannie. This is fantastic.
Yeah, we'll say aloha for now and see you soon.
Aloha for now.
Thank you for tuning into the Human-Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human-Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services. You can reach Michael Overly, author of Let Your Dog Lead, Musings on How to Create an Exceptional Life, on his website at dogsandmen.com or email michael@dogsandmen.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.